Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The political pace is picking up as we close 2023 and quickly round the corner to the March primary, which means the stakes are on an upward trajectory, with every political decision and move carrying more weight. A tool to gauge how voters are feeling are polls. They are far from an end-all be-all, but they do play a role in checking the appetite for candidates and elected officials. The UC Berkeley Institute for Governmental Studies is the state's oldest public policy research center, which can provide more context when looking at percentages in a snapshot of time. A new poll out this month among California voters highlights challenges for President Joe Biden and Governor Gavin Newsom. For the first time during his presidency, Biden's disapproval rating is higher than his approval overall. And Governor Newsom isn't faring any better. In a rare show during Newsom's two terms, more voters disapprove of his job performance. And although, unlike Biden, Newsom is not running for governor in 2024, it can shape his influence on the national stage. Dustin Gardner is Politico's California Playbook co-author and joins us with more about this recent poll, among other political current events. Hey, Dustin, how's it going? Good morning.
Good morning, Vicky. Good to be with you.
So, big picture, given your perspective as a journalist focused on state politics, what is the bigger message that you're getting from a recent poll about both President Biden and Governor Newsom's job approval ratings among California voters?
Yeah, I mean, I think both of their numbers are down pretty considerably. And like you said, this is the first time we've seen President Biden underwater in California with his approval ratings. So some pretty jarring numbers. And I think there's a couple of parallels where both the governor and President Biden have run into some problems, especially with Democratic voters. The one that really leaped out to me from this Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies poll was the Israel-Palestine conflict, the war between Israel and Hamas. That really jumped out as an issue where Democrats surveyed in the poll, so they were frustrated with both the governor and President Biden. At least a significant portion of Democrats were frustrated with them. And that's maybe not particularly a huge surprise. I mean, California has some pretty progressive Democratic voters. And as we know, there's been an intra-party split among Democrats over the country's allegiance with Israel and just the response to the conflict, particularly around just civilian casualties in Gaza. So that's one parallel where the governor and the president were both struggling with voters. And then another parallel was just inflation and the economy. You know, we're seeing people frustrated with both the governor and the president about sort of their anxieties in that space. So those were a couple of similarities that jumped out to me.
Yeah. I mean, and to be clear, I mean, this poll doesn't indicate at all that President Biden is going to lose California in the general election. But is there a bigger message that his support among, you know, a comfortably Democrat state, at least within the past 30 years for presidencies, that it's declining?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, President Biden won the state by 30 points in the last election. He's not really in trouble in California, but the margin could be, you know, tighter than it has been. I think the poll had him up about 15 points over former President Trump in a, you know, hypothetical head-to-head election with the two of them. And that's 15 points is quite a bit different than winning by 30 points a few years ago. So I think it does signify that progressives are frustrated with the Biden administration. I mentioned the Israel-Hamas conflict. That is a really biggie, especially with younger Democrats. The polling is really showing that younger groups of voters are breaking with the president on that. And also it just shows that, you know, there's at this point in the Biden administration, there's just a general level of fatigue with voters who feel like, you know, they expected maybe more, maybe a better messaging campaign around what Democrats are trying to do. And they just haven't felt a lot of energy and enthusiasm from the Biden White House, from at least from what this polling is suggesting. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was looking at the polling, I was surprised, or what stood out to me at least, was that, you know, among moderate and no party preference voters, that's where there was the largest jump in disapproving in Biden's performance. What does that tell you?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. In California, no party preference voters had been the fastest growing section for a lot of years. And then now the portion of no party preference or independent voters has been shrinking while the numbers of Democrats and Republicans actually increase. And so, it's strangely a shrinking body of the electorate in California. But yeah, like you mentioned, that is an area where President Biden has struggled with voters in the state. And that, I think that really does reflect, a lot of frustration with inflation. You know, there's the federal government has been trying really hard for the last couple of years to get a handle on inflation. And while it's slowed, things haven't really turned around dramatically in that space. I think that's with independents and more moderate voters, that is the bigger frustration. And like I was saying, with progressives and other more liberal-leaning Democrats, there's a lot more frustration around foreign policy and Israel and Hamas.
Yeah, and during that same period, when it comes to former President Trump, his approval among California Republican voters, it has grown. I mean, in February of this year, it was at around like 29% of likely voters preferred Trump over the other GOP candidates. And now with this current poll, it's grown to 57%. That's just 8 months later. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing is the collapse of Ron DeSantis as a viable candidate in the primary here. Earlier this year, Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, had made a big play for California. You know, he had staffing here. And as his campaign is sunk nationally, DeSantis is pretty much pulled out of California in any meaningful way. And so I think a lot of people that were considering DeSantis have seemed to have gone back to Trump. And there really hasn't emerged another really significant viable contender, at least among California voters. You know, we've seen folks like Nikki Haley and others, the former South Carolina governor. She's emerged more on a national stage, but the polling doesn't show her getting much traction here in California. So I think among Republicans, at least, it seems like California voters are really hedging their bets with former President Trump.
Moving over to Governor Newsom, I mean, more California voters disapprove than approve of his overall job performance. And this is really a rarity in his two terms. I mean, going off of the same polling, the only time this has happened was in January of 2021. And we were in the thick of the pandemic during that time. And later that year, Newsom would survive a recall election as well. So what stands out to you about a declining approval rating at this point in his governorship?
Yeah, I think a lot of political observers and consultants in Sacramento expected the governor's numbers to be down at this point in governorship, a bit of time into the second term. That's typical for a governor to see their numbers lag a little bit. Jerry Brown's numbers were down around this time. But I don't think people expected Newsom's numbers to be down as far as they are. This poll found, 44% approval among registered voters. That's pretty low. I think his previous low point was that January 2021 poll that you mentioned, and that was just on the heels of the French Laundry controversy when the governor, went to a friend's birthday party at a very expensive Napa restaurant where there were more than 12 people, and which was contrary to the public health guidance he'd given people at the time about large gatherings. So that was the previous low point. So I think it really was a shock for people to see this number below that. I think part of this reflects voters not being that energized about him really taking on this role of wanting to be a more national figure for Democrats. You know, we've seen him traveling to other states and campaigning for President Biden and really taking on Republicans. And he has a debate coming up with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in a couple of weeks on Fox News. So I think some of the polling suggests that voters are not that excited about the governor focusing on this national role. I think, it suggests that a lot of them would rather he be focused on concerns within the state. And this also comes after Newsom just traveled to China. He did a 10-day trip that was really focused on climate policy, but also some other diplomatic areas. And I think that could have been a factor in this polling. But a couple caveats I'll add here is, there's been other recent polling. There was a Morning Consult poll in September that showed him with 56 approval rating, 56 percent approval rating. And that poll was among likely voters. The other poll we were discussing about was among registered voters. And so when you narrow the universe to people that are most likely to vote, his approval rating is higher. And that 56% approval rating just in September, that is quite a bit higher than the 44% that just came out in this Berkeley IGS poll. And so I think there is some head scratching going on and people wondering, you know, why was there such a dramatic fluctuation with his China trip and him taking on DeSantis? Is that really enough to send the numbers, you know, down that much? So I don't know. I think there are some factors to watch, and there is clearly some voter frustration with him taking on this outsized role outside of the state. But I think there are some reasons to be a little bit skeptical about the amount of fluctuation shown in the poll.
Okay. And I mean, regardless, Newsom is termed out and currently is not planning to be on a ballot in 2024. So some may think, okay, well, what does it matter if a larger share of voters potentially they disapprove of his performance? What is the impact of a perhaps declining popularity of an outgoing governor like Newsom? What impact could that potentially have even for the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I think it's very clear this governor is looking toward his future. He's thinking about, you know, whether he might run for the White House someday. He's made it very clear he doesn't plan to challenge President Biden in his reelection contest. But, you know, 2028, the campaign for that is pretty much starts after this next presidential election. And so I think, you know, Governor Newsom is looking at that very closely, and people in his circle are looking at that and saying, you know, how much can he be a national figure? And if his numbers at home start to tank, then that obviously does not help his case. And at one point, you know, not that long ago, he had the highest approval rating of any governor in the state. I think that was, you know, sort of in the middle of the pandemic in early fall 2020 or late summer 2020. So that's one impact is on the governor's future. But beyond that, I mean, I think these numbers, they really are important for the governor's ability to govern in Sacramento. If his approval rating really starts to dip, legislators will be looking at that. Other statewide officials will be looking at that. And, you know, that makes it harder for him to flex as much influence at the state capitol in terms of the budget and, you know, other priorities on his agenda. So I think, yeah, I mean, I think this is a big concern for him, and he doesn't want to be a lame duck prematurely. He wants to keep the political clout that he has in Sacramento.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Dustin Gardner, Politico's California Playbook co-author. Okay, so all of this comes as the major APEC summit. It opened up over the weekend. It's currently underway in San Francisco. Why is this summit so significant, especially on the heels of the governor's recent high-profile trip to China?
This is a really huge moment for California in terms of just being in the spotlight of international affairs. The most watched moment of the week is clearly going to be the meeting anticipated to happen between President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping. You know, this comes after months of escalating tensions between China and the United States. And the tensions really started or escalated when the Biden administration shot down a Chinese spy balloon. And there was a lot of fiery rhetoric back and forth between Biden and Xi. And this moment's going to be very watched in terms of the ability to smooth those tensions. I think both sides have signaled they want there to be a thaw, and they want China and the United States to have a more harmonious relationship going forward. And Newsom, you know, his trip to China was very well received by the government there, and that might have sort of helped set the table for a smoother meeting between the two presidents. And so I think that's going to be the most watched aspect. And, you know, also there's just a lot of importance for San Francisco and California in terms of their ability to show that they can host this type of a world-class event.
Yeah, I mean, it's been more than 6 years since Chinese leader Xi Jinping actually traveled to the United States. I mean, what does a summit of this scale mean also just for San Francisco, its image as a city?
Yeah, I mean, this is the largest gathering of international leaders that San Francisco has hosted since 1945, when the United Nations Charter was signed here. To put things in context, at that time, the Golden Gate Bridge was the tallest landmark in town. It was a very different San Francisco without all the skyscrapers and the skyline we see today. I think city leaders are really looking at this this summit as a chance to show the country and the world that San Francisco is still here, that it's still a world-class city, and that it's, you know, working hard to address the homelessness problem, the fentanyl addiction problem, some of the property crime problems, the things that have given San Francisco a bad rap and national headlines in recent years. So I think Mayor London Breed and others are really eager to put a fresh face forward and show that San Francisco can host an event like this. And I will say, I live in San Francisco, and I've been walking around the area around the Moscone Convention Center where the summit's going to be held. And I've been walking around Union Square, and things are dramatically cleaned up for this event. The sidewalks are freshly washed. You're seeing a lot fewer tents and a lot fewer homeless people wandering around. The police presence is very visible. So it's very clear that the city has put a lot of resources and emphasis into giving the best impression it can.
Before we let you go, I mean, it's also a significant week when it comes to the trial of David DePape, who is accused of breaking into former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's home, striking her husband, Paul Pelosi, in the head with a hammer. This happened a year ago in October of 2022. He pleaded not guilty to charges of assault and attempted kidnapping. What have you learned from the courtroom? You've been following this trial.
Yeah, so we're in court today. It's the third day of the trial. Paul Pelosi is expected to take the stand, we believe, this afternoon. So that will likely be a very dramatic, intense moment. A couple of things that we've learned so far. Friday, it was opening arguments between the prosecutors and the defense. And the defense, they've said that they don't plan to dispute the police body camera footage that very clearly shows the attack occurring. They're not focused on that. They're focused on DePape's intent. And because this is a federal case, the charges require that prosecutors prove that DePape's actions with the assault on Paul Pelosi and the attempted kidnapping of Nancy Pelosi, that those were motivated by an intent to prevent the former House Speaker from fulfilling her official duties. So that's really the thrust of the prosecution. And so the defense has framed their argument around the idea that DePape, while his actions were horrific, in the words of the defense team that he has, they say that his intent was motivated by his true belief in the QAnon conspiracy theory and a host of other kind of wild conspiracy theories. And they're using that argument to say that his focus was not to prevent Nancy Pelosi from fulfilling her official duties. And that's a really interesting tact that we're seeing. And there are some similarities to some of the defenses we've seen, for example, with rioters who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. And their defense teams arguing that they were motivated by a deeply held belief system. So I think it'll be interesting to watch that whole argument around his intent play out in court.
Is this the first time that we'll hear Paul Pelosi speak publicly about what happened?
It is. We have not. We've seen, some of the interviews with police and those records, but we have not seen Paul Pelosi publicly talk about this. Nancy Pelosi hasn't said a whole lot about it herself. It's come up in her interviews, of course, from time to time, but she has not really leaned into talking about this. And I don't think she's going to be actually anywhere near the courtroom today or this week. So it will be a very intense, emotional moment to see Paul Pelosi take the stand and talk about that moment of what it was like being, woken up in his bedroom after 2 a.m. in the morning by a stranger holding a hammer. It's going to be an exceptional moment.
Dustin, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Dustin Gardner is Politico's California Playbook co-author. And you're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.